You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
The title of my message today is called The Life That Winds Upward. The Life That Winds Upward. And I'm going to share with you a little story that I found. And this is a story that I found on Facebook randomly. I don't know totally if this story is true. I think it is. Somebody posted it and they were sharing their experience, their story. And I just loved the words on the page. And I didn't really even care if it was true or not. I was like, this is such a great story. And so I just had to share it with you all this morning. So can we put up the picture of this beautiful woman? And I'm just going to read the story that I read, and then we're going to get into it. The 92-year-old, petite, well-poised, and proud lady, who was fully dressed each morning by 8 o'clock, with her hair fashionably coiled and makeup perfectly applied, even though she is legally blind, moved to a nursing home today. Her husband of 70 years recently passed away, making the move necessary. After many hours of waiting patiently in the lobby of the nursing home, she smiled sweetly when told that her room was ready, and she maneuvered her walker to the elevator. I provided a visual description of her tiny room, including the eyelet sheets that had been hung on her window. "I love it," she stated, with the enthusiasm of an 8-year-old having been just presented with a new puppy. "Mrs. Jones, you haven't even seen the room. Just wait." "That doesn't have anything to do with it," she replied. "Happiness is something you decide on ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not doesn't depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's how I arrange my mind. I already decided to love it. It's a decision that I make every morning when I wake up. I have a choice. I can spend the day in bed recounting the difficulty I have with the parts of my body that no longer work, or I can get out of bed and be thankful for the ones that do. Each day is a gift. As long as my eyes open, I'll focus on the new day and all the happy memories I've stored away just for this time in my life." She went on to explain, "Old age is like a bank account. You withdraw from what you've put in. So my advice to you would be to deposit a lot of happiness in the bank account of memories. Thank you for being part in filling my memory bank. I'm still depositing." And with a smile, she said, "Remember the 5 simple rules to be happy. Free your heart from hatred, free your mind from worries, live simply, give more, and expect less." I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into this message. God, oh God, Lord, I thank you for every person that is here today or every person that will be listening. And Lord God, I thank you that today each of us would have an encounter with you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, as we kind of look back and then look forward to everything that you have for us, oh God. We invite you to be part of the mix, part of the choices that we decide on ahead of time. So, Lord God, I just give this service over to you, oh God. Lord, I thank you that you would speak through me this morning to each and every person that is here, that it would be your word, oh God, that changes, that encounters every heart that is here. Lord, we lift you up and we praise you for the testimonies that will come from this place. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 How cute is that? Is that not the cutest story? Oh my goodness. I posted that story too. Like I reposted and I had all these people like going, "Oh my goodness, that was this. I want a grandma like that." We all want a grandma like that, right? We all need a grandma like that in our world. But I read that story and it really got me to thinking about resolves that I've kind of made in my life or choices that I've made in my life. And I started asking myself these questions. Does our circumstances and our situations dictate our reality, or our resolves and our choices made ahead of time determine our reality? What have we decided, like that woman and the story that we just heard? What have we decided beforehand, before life seemingly just happens to us? What decisions are made when we get up in the morning? How has our mind been organized? What choices and decisions have already been resolved and settled in our heart and our mind when we wake up in the morning? I think it's so important to ask ourselves these questions, especially at the beginning of a year. I don't know about you, but I was kind of looking at the beginning of this year and going, okay, how is it? What are my resolves? What are the things that I am living by? What are the convictions that I am standing in? Because I have found that goals are really different to resolves. Like a goal is something that you aim for. It's a desire that you want to achieve. But I found that a choice or a resolve is there's finality to that. It's like come hell or high water, no matter what happens, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, I have resolved. It becomes a part of the core of who we are, not just a desire that we have. Does that make sense? And so I looked up the word resolve in the dictionary, and it says this: a fixed purpose, to decide or make a determination, to cause a person to reach a decision, to find a solution, to deal with conclusively, to remove or dispel all doubts and all fears, to come to a determination, making up one's mind. The Bible says this in Matthew 5:37, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. I found in my life and over the years, especially in ministry and doing pastoral care and meeting with people, you know, constantly and hearing stories. And I've come to realize that your yes is yes, your no is no. And the Bible says that anything is in the middle is from the evil one. I find that when we are in that place of indecision, when we are in that place where our yes isn't our yes and our no isn't our no, and there's so many options and there's, you know, things that we're deciding on, that's a place where the devil can actually come in. And that's where torment can live, right? Because it's not a yes and it's not a no. So we feel torn between the two. And in the middle there, I find all this chaos can happen in our lives. And I meet with people and it's like I've realized, oh my goodness, it's because there's not been these resolves in their life, these choices that have been made. And so they're living in this in-between, and that can create chaos and torment in our lives. But the Bible has such a better way. And I love it. In Proverbs 15:24, and this is where I got the title of my message. It says this: the way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. In the Matthew Henry commentary, it says, a good man sets his affections on the things above. His ways lead directly thither. That's such a weird word. I had to look it up. Thither? Okay. It means, yeah, try to say that three times. You can't. It means towards that place. So a good man sets his affections on things above. His way leads directly towards that place. Another commentary said, refers to us being wise when we set our hearts on godly principles. It is a way of life that will go well for us. So how many of you have ever decided to throw a dinner party? Or how many have been invited to a dinner party, or a special occasion, or just something happening with, you know, friends or family, and you decide to kind of put this whole, you know, thing together. And you can always tell, like, your real and true friends when you throw a party, because when you throw a party and you invite people, you have those friends of yours that will immediately say, oh, I'm so excited, yep, looked at my calendar, totally can make it. And you know that when they say yes, they are going to be there. And then you have some really true friends as well that will look at their calendar and realize, oh my goodness, it's a conflict, I can't make it. And so they'll tell you, no, I'm so sorry, I can't be there. And you know that they took a look and they can't be there. And so you're like, okay, I'm good with that. And they're such good friends that, you know, when the party's actually happening, even if they're a little bit late, they'll like text you or call you and be like, this is what happened, I'm on my way, right? We've all had that. But then there's this other group of people, these other friends, and they live in the place of the in-between, I find, where it's not so much a commitment. It's like all the options need to be open. I might accept your invitation unless something better comes along. Tell me who's invited, because that will make me decide if I'm going to come to the party. And then some people will go, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna come. But really, they're like, I want to appease you and make you feel good, and so I'm gonna tell you I'm gonna come. But actually, something else better came along, and then all of a sudden this other thing that's better that came along, they're like, maybe I'm going to go to that. And then all of a sudden they're in indecision. What do I do? Because now I've committed, but kind of half-heartedly. But then over here there's that better option. And then all of a sudden they're like, and they live in a bit of torment. And then the host is kind of a little bit frustrated. Come on, have we all been there? Am I speaking truth? Okay. And so, you know, and so we can live a little bit in that place. And it kind of got me to thinking. I'm like, wow, we really sometimes have commitment issues. Like, you know, our yes isn't our yes, our no isn't our no. And so I found that we can live in that little place of torment. And here's the deal. I kind of think about it like God, like he created a party just for us. He created a party. He has this great party that he has invited you to, the party of life, right? And he designed it. He created it. He's got all these plans for us at this beautiful party. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Do we elevate circumstances or options over the resolves and principles of God? Do we? I think that we've made some resolves, and if we live by some convictions beforehand, we can save ourselves a lot of trouble. If we decide beforehand, if we make choices beforehand on how we're going to live our lives, I found that there are some things to settle and some things to resolve after we get saved and before life happens to us. So we get saved. And then I think at some point in our life, it may happen at that encounter. It may happen sometime later. It might happen here today that we actually make some resolves, some decisions of, okay, this is who I am. This is how I'm going to live my life now that I have encountered this great God of the universe. Now that my eternity, I've had an encounter with God. I've given my life over to God. I've reconciled my eternity. Now, what are the choices? What are the decisions? What are the convictions? What are the resolves that I'm going to live by? Right? Are you tracking with me? Yeah. Can we decide these things ahead of time? I think we can. I really think we can. So I'm going to just hit on 3 points. And these are 3 resolves that I have found that has helped me to live a life that winds upward. Now, living a life that winds upward doesn't mean that we don't have a bit of roller coaster experiences. It doesn't mean that we don't have twists and turns, but it does mean that we're continually rising upward, like the Bible says, right? And so I think we can live that kind of life. Now, there's many resolves. There are many convictions that we can live by. And today, to be honest with you, I am just going to touch on some of the basics because I think the basics build our lives. I think when it gets too complicated, Jesus is like, what are you doing? Like, it's not as complicated sometimes as we make it out to be. We get on these little twists and turns. I kind of feel like most of our life, we have to get down to the basics and build a foundation from there to live upon. So we don't have to live an indecisive, chaotic life. We can live a life of peace that surpasses understanding. All right. So number one, once saved, always saved. Now you may be thinking, Stacy, are you about to get into a theological discussion? It's kind of a big topic right now, right? To unpackage. I went to university. I had, you know, Christian classes, and you know, I had theology classes. And I remember going to theology classes, and it would be like your mind would be twisted and turned. You know, they would use all these, you know, different parts of the Bible, and you'd be like, oh, I don't. And you'd walk out and be like, I don't even know what I believe anymore. Okay, here's what's cool. I don't need to get into a theological discussion today, because today we can just make a choice that once I'm saved, I'm going to stay saved. Once I'm saved, I'm never going back. Once I've encountered truth, once I've encountered the love of Jesus, I don't want to go back to the old. It doesn't mean that we don't struggle with some of the old. It doesn't mean, but it means that once we are saved, we are always going to be saved, that we're going to love Jesus, that we're going to follow him, come hell or high water. Does that make sense? And so, and then I'm going to take it a step further. What if once saved, always saved? But what if, as well, we always run to Jesus and not from him? So when the things happen, when life happens to us, because the Bible doesn't promise us a life of, you know, rainbows and raindrops and all these things. The Bible promises us that we will have some calamity. We will have some things that come up against us. But I've found, yeah, but I'm saved. I've encountered Jesus. And when I fall into those areas, I am not going to run from God. I'm going to run to God. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Message version says, blessed are you who run to him. When history, when our old nature, when things try to pull us back to how it used to be, can we make a resolve this morning that I am going to live, I am going to choose to be saved? Here's the deal. I got saved when I was 4. I did. I encountered Jesus. I had an experience. I received the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I had a consciousness of the Spirit of God from when I was 4 years old. But if I were honest, I don't think I made this resolve until I was 16. So I grew up in the ways of God. I grew up in those things. But when I was 16 and I started to face some things in my life, and as you heard in one of my other messages, when I had to know that I am a Christian, that I am saved because that's what I believe, I told my parents, I'm going to go off and I'm going to figure this thing out, you know, on my own. I'm going to look at all the different religions of the world and all the spirituality, and I'm going to make sure that I believe what I believe is what I believe. And so I went out in search of those things. And as you have heard previously, it took a really short amount of time for me to realize that Jesus was the only way, that he was the truth, because I found that every other path led to death, destruction, chaos, misery, depression. But I found that in Jesus we can have true joy. So here's the deal. I can remember 4, I got saved, but at 16, I made a resolve. This is it. I am living for Jesus. No matter what happens in my life, no matter the things that happen to me, no matter the things that, because sometimes stuff happens to you, right? It's not even what you participate in. Sometimes it happens to you. And I made a decision, regardless, I'm not running from God. I will run to him. Hebrews 10:32 through 36 says this: remember those earlier days after you have received the light, when you endured in great conflict, full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he promised. How beautiful of God. I love that God gives us these principles and then kind of throws a promise in there as well. Like, how beautiful that we can reap that harvest. And some of us may have felt that when we came to God, we had all those experiences. We were publicly humiliated. Friends left us. Things happened. But it was like this, you know, you had just met Jesus. You're so excited. But then as we track along, all of a sudden we can kind of, oh, was it? Is it worth it? Should I? It's actually really difficult. But no, we make a resolve. Once saved, always saved. And God richly rewards us. Okay, number 2. Are we ready? We're doing good? Yeah. Okay, number 2, participate in church every week. Yeah. It's, I'm going to go there, all right? I'm going to go there. Participate in church every week. Now, I use the word participation and not attendance. Because when you attend something, you can attend as a critic. You can come in and you can just fold your arms and, you know, okay, people at the front, you know, it's almost like puppet play the music, you know, come on. And if God is real, then you know what, you know, then all these things need to happen. And you know what, here's the truth. I'll take that. I'll take anybody that will still come in with arms crossed, critiquing, judging, all of those things. I'll take that because I know that even the hardest heart God can encounter and completely change. I know it. So we welcome everyone, all walks of life, come on in, can have an encounter with God. But I've chosen, instead of coming in that way and attending, how about participating? Here at C3 San Diego, we believe in soaking in one service and serving in another. Soaking in one service and serving another. Why do we say that? Because we want you to come into a place where you can just receive. Come in, encounter God, receive, get everything that you need, pull everything that you need out of that service. Use every moment of it. I don't know what week you had. I don't know what life you've had. I don't know what history you had, but you have a moment every single week to come into a place of encouragement, to come into a place where the very presence of God, because the Bible says we're two or more gathered, he is in our midst. So God is present in this place, and we have an opportunity to do that. And then when we receive and we get all the nutrients that we need, can we have an opportunity where we give that to somebody else? Can we serve in another service? No matter what we're doing, can we just serve? Can we serve the people that are coming in for the first time that haven't yet encountered Jesus? And so we serve them. And so we give to them. And you know what? We were just in another service. So we received what we need out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's coming out of us is the word of God, is encouragement to somebody else. And it not only could build possibly their faith, but it builds ours as well. So I want to encourage us to make it a resolve to not just attend, but to participate. And here's the deal about participating, is we can make a resolve that we come every week, no matter what. That means that we don't arrange our schedules around, you know, what's happening to church. We arrange our schedules around church, not the opposite, right? So it's like we don't arrange anything else in our lives, and then if church fits in, we'll do that. No, we can make a resolve. We can make a resolve. Whatever it is, I'm in church. I'm a churchgoer. I've made a resolve. It's my choice. Like, it's so cool when you make a resolve. It takes the torment out of it. You never have to feel bad. Seriously, it's so great. You're just like, I go to church. That is what I do. And please do not feel condemned. Like if you go on vacation and you know, you're out of church, I'm not talking about like going on vacation once in a while and doing those things. But I am saying, can we make a resolve and a choice? I am a churchgoer. I go to church every week. And here's the deal. I love the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Because the Bible actually has something to say about it, about church. And in Hebrews 10, it talks about to not forsake the assembling together. Do not forsake the getting together. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews 19, or 10, 19 through 25. It says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed and pure with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible is clear to not forget, to not stop getting together. Now, I know you might be thinking, and I've had this spoken to me, but Stacy, Jesus is in my heart. I can have church anywhere. Okay, I'm going to go there. Okay, the Bible does say, and this is really cool. I as I was reading this, God brought it to my attention because I just read the verse, not forsaking for us to be together. And a couple of verses earlier, it does say this. It says in Hebrews 10, 15, 16, and the Holy Spirit testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and I will write them in their minds. So I love Jesus. He's so smart. He put two different verses in the Bible in the same chapter. He actually makes a distinction. He says, yes, you can commune with me. I will write the law of the Lord in your heart, which enables us to make good choices and good decisions. And then a couple verses later, he goes, and do not forsake the getting together of the brethren. So what God is saying, it is not separate. It is not two. He's saying do both. He's saying you have, and how beautiful in the scripture, encouraging one another on. Do you know to encourage one another on, you need to be in the presence of another person? How are you meant to encourage one another on if it is only you and the Lord? And absolutely, we build our relationship with Jesus and we have a personal relationship, what our faith is built upon. But God, he makes a really big distinction and he says the Holy Spirit testifies of it, to not forsake the gathering together, to not forsake encouraging one another, spurring each other on. That is the church. We need God and people. We need God and leadership. We need God and encouragement. You know, I look at my own life and I'm like, man, I could have fallen away so many times. I could have fallen away so many times. You know, especially I find transitions is a big thing. Transitions are a time when transitions in our life where we can just maybe not go 1 week to church, and then not go 2 weeks to church, and then not go 3 weeks. The next thing you know, you're not in church. And I've moved a couple of times in my life, so I understand, you know, when you move, it's a whole new environment and it's a new place and all of these things. But I remember actually when I left Ecuador and I was going to college, and I went to college and I'm like, okay, I need to find a church. I need to be involved in a church. So I started looking at all the different churches, and I started to get really sad, honestly, at the state of the church. And I came from this, you know, spirit-filled, thriving kind of church. And I was going to these other churches. And I remember one day I walked into this church and you could barely tell it was like a church service because it felt like a funeral. Like, it was so depressing. It was like everything was somber. Everything was so somber. Everything, no one stood up. No one raised a hand. You know, the music came on and people just kind of, you know, sang along. And then the word of God, and it was delivered in such a way that it was, and I'm like, oh, to the point, I kid you not, tears started coming down my face. I'm like, what happened? What is going on? And I'm crying. And I really think that the people that surrounded me thought, oh my gosh, someone's being touched in service. And so I did have an arm around me at one point. I'm like, it's just sad. It's so sad. I didn't tell them that. But it would have been easy for me to walk away, honestly. And I couldn't find the church that I felt a really good fit in. And I, for a season of my life, was, you know, in the Bible Belt, and it seemed like every church was more religious than the next. And I thought, I don't know what this is. I'd never seen a place of just laws and religion and not a relationship with Jesus and call it Christianity. I didn't experience that kind of a thing. So I was so baffled and so confused. And I'm like, God, what do I do? Because the principle of your word says to be in church. And God spoke to me so clearly. And he said, Stacy, pick any church. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Doesn't matter if it feels good or not. Doesn't matter if it's your cup of tea or not. I will meet you in that place. I will minister to you. I will minister to you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how the person presents my gospel. I am big enough. I am a big enough God to meet you in that place, to minister to you. And can I tell you, I praise God for those years. I prayed God for those years that I was in churches where it wasn't my cup of tea, because I have journals filled with the word of God to me. And if I look back now, I see that that built a platform for me to have the opportunity to what I am doing now. What if I didn't make the choice? What if I didn't make the resolve? What if it was too tough, too hard? I don't know where I'd be. So I want to encourage us today. Let's make that choice. The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days, all of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There's something beautiful about church. Something beautiful about it. And I want to encourage each and every one of us. I thank God that I look back, and I thank God that I stuck with it. So no matter what happens, let's participate. Let's be in church. My last point, point number three, live in hope. Live in hope. Never stop hoping. Never stop believing the promises. Never stop believing the truths. Let's live in hope. Here's the deal. I'm gonna get a little bit honest and a little bit vulnerable with you this morning. Is that okay? Because I find, like Pastor Drew said, when we share of our own experiences and our own testimony, there's weight to the word. And so I thought I could tell a lot of stories today, but I want to tell a story that I know God has so done something on the inside of me to leave me in a place of constant hope that I felt like I wanted to share it with you today. So I'm going to, you know, maybe not share every juicy detail, but I'm going to kind of go there. Is that all right? We're doing okay? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And I've decided that I would rather go to the grave living in hope than live on earth with a sick heart. I would rather live in a world of hope than let my heart grow embittered or sick. because of something that perhaps isn't happening in my life. And I know I'm going to share one of my stories, but we all have them, don't we? We all have a promise. We all have something we're believing for. We all have something where our heart gets wayward at times, and it is the struggle to live in the hope. But I believe that God is going to encourage each and every one of us this morning, as he did me, as we kind of talk about this today. Psalm 32:20 says, we're depending on God. He is everything that we need. Another version says, we wait in hope, for the Lord, he is our help, and he is our shield. The Bible also says this in Psalm 34:17, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. Psalm 34:22 says, God pays for every slave's freedom. No one who runs to him loses out. I love God. So in my own life, I really, since I was a kid, I have had two dreams. I had the dream of being involved in ministry, of loving God and ministering to people. And I felt like as a kid, that's where my heart went, and that's what I wanted to do. I didn't really care much what it looked like. I didn't care what title I had next to my name. All I cared about was, God, I want to minister to you. I want to use my whole life to do that. And God has been so amazing and so beautiful, and I've been living out that dream, and it's so exciting. And then right alongside of that was the dream to have a family, to be married, to have a husband, to have those things. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is like going to be the best life. And so, you know, life kind of takes off. And I found that God did really good on this one part of my dream. And so I had the ministry and those things, but I was believing, you know, for a husband. I was believing for a man. And I'm in my 30s now. And I'm like, God, like what is happening here? And here's the deal. Don't feel sorry for me. Do not feel sorry for me. I will share with you the hope that is in this. So I remember when I was one time taking a vacation, and I went to Ecuador, and my whole family, we were downtown, and we were just having this amazing time. My whole family is in front of me. And as I'm walking, I'm kind of thinking like, gosh, like, man, did I make like the wrong choice? Like, my whole family's here. All these things are happening. I have so much opportunity here. You know, all of those things. And then I felt God speak deep into my heart and said, Stacy, don't look back. Look forward. Because I was already living here in San Diego, and I was already involved in ministry. And I felt God say and remind me of his word. And he said, when you leave father and mother for my name's sake, when you leave those things for my name's sake, will I not give you 100-fold? The Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew 19:29, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or wife or children for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. And I felt God deposit a promise and a dream inside my heart that day. And he said, you'll have your own family. Don't you worry, sweetheart. You'll have a double portion. Because I left father and mother. I left house and home for the gospel, and I didn't have to. I had ministry opportunity over there, but I obeyed the word of God. And here's the beautiful thing about God. I love it so much. Is that when I was like, okay, God, what is happening? What is going on? He just reminded me so much. And here's the thing about the getting married. And I've actually, it's so funny. I've actually counseled so many people and like relationships and like all this, you know, type of thing. And I found that a lot of jacked up people get together. Okay. I'm just saying. Because sometimes, like, girls, I know guys, I felt this way, you kind of feel like, oh my gosh, I just need to so work on myself, and I so need to be like this perfect human being so that this other person will love me, as if we're proving and striving. And I found that in God, he reminded me, oh, Stacy, love is given and received. This is not something you prove. This is not something you have to strive for. This is something that simply is a receiving. And here's what I found about God. I found that he was the God that in this circumstance, he was not withholding from me his promise. He's not a mean God saying, Stacy, this can't happen for you. He's not a mean God saying, no, it's just at your reach, but you can't have it. No, all I found was that his timing is different than my timing. The That's all I found. His timing is a little bit different than my timing. And so I started to realize, oh my goodness, I can stand in a place of hope. And you know what? I kind of find it's actually not that hard to really get married and choose those things. Like you kind of find someone, you like that person, they like you, you're attracted to each other, you have fun together, you ask God, is this it? He says yes. You talk to a couple of friends in wisdom, you know, and then it's like, yep, that's what we're doing. Okay. So it's not all that difficult. It's just different timing. And so, look, I'm not saying, people, like, we don't have to work on ourselves and all this. It's not like a free pass to just, like, live how we want to live. I'm just saying that we don't serve a God that requires some sort of perfection from us in anything that we do. I found that instead, God was so beautiful to go, oh, my goodness, I'm not withholding. I am not doing any of those things. But instead, I simply have, and here's the deal. I found when I started to live in this place of hope, I found that hope was limitless. I felt that there was peace and not chaos. I felt like, oh my goodness, I can live out my greatest dream. I can do all the things that God has called me to do. And as I am running my own race, living with the joy of the Lord that is on the inside of me, as I do that, then guess what? There'll be somebody else that's going to be running their race. And they're going to kind of take a look over at the next lane. And they're going to go, oh my gosh, I want something like that. Here's the deal. I would much rather have that because we attract to us who we are. So I don't want some embittered, depressed soul as my partner. I want the best. And so why not live the best? Why not? And honestly, I can say that from my experience so strongly because I live it every day. When you can live in the face of a promise and it hasn't happened yet, and yet you choose hope, I'm telling you, it's priceless. It is priceless. No one could give me those things. I live in a true place of joy and happiness. And though there is still hope, though there is waiting, though there is process, oh my goodness, I get to choose to live the greatest life. Hope is not deferred from me. My heart does not grow sick. It grows healthy, healthier every single day. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So let's live in a land of hope. In that place of limitless. You know, in the Bible, I did not find one single scripture that says stop hoping too much. A little bit too much hope for you. I found it's limitless. It's amazing. We can have as much hope as we want to have. And when you're going to hope, why not dream wildly? Why not get a little bit extravagant? As you look out at this new year, why not gain in whatever area you are walking out or you are working through? Why not get a little bit crazy? If you're going to live in hope, make it good. Like, come on, get a really big dream. Get a really big promise. Continue to believe for those things that you are going to believe in. God is so good. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. He makes way for them. Timing may be a little bit different, but that's okay. We can live in that hope. So let's make a resolve today. Once saved, always saved. Participate in church every week. And thirdly, live in hope. The Bible says this in Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strengths. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. I don't know about you today, but I believe we've got a big walk ahead of us. I think we got a big life ahead of us. I think that the life that we can get to live can wind upward every single day. That we don't have to live in indecision. That we don't have to live in torment. That we don't have to live in despair. We can make resolves on the inside of us, some decisions and choices, not goals, not desires, but some resolves that will keep us when we don't want to be kept. So today, I hope that you have, and I pray that you have received not so much even my stories and the words that I have said, but I pray that there has been an instilling of encouragement into every one of your hearts today. So why don't we do this? Why don't we just close our eyes right now? God is so good. He's so good. He's such a great God. And for those of you that are here and you listening to the stories and you're feeling like, oh my goodness, that's been me a time or two, or maybe it's even a moment of, gosh, have I made that resolve? Have I chosen to just stay saved? Have I made these choices in my life? Have I encountered Jesus yet? It would be remiss of me to walk out of here and not give you an opportunity to meet the living God that I serve. I don't know what my life would look like. I can't even imagine what it would be without him, and I would not want that for anyone that I meet. So right here, right now, nothing awkward, not gonna make you, you know, jump to the stage or anything like that, but if you are in your seat and you are saying, Stacy, I wanna make a resolve today. I wanna be saved today. If that is you, if you wanna encounter Jesus for the first time, or maybe it's years and years of years of knowing God, but today you've made a decision in your heart that it is a resolve, that I'm not going back, that I am moving forward come hell or high water, that Jesus is for me, so who or what can be against me? If that is you today, would you do me a favor and just raise your hand, because I want to pray with you. So if that is you in this place, just raise up that hand real nice and high, and I'm just going to stand with you and I'm going to pray for you as we close, and then we're going to sing a worship song as we complete this. Beautiful, I see you up the back over there. Beautiful, what a great decision. I see you as well. What a great decision. What a good choice today. Your life will never be the same again. And I can't even see your faces up there, but I feel God speaking to me saying, get ready for peace that surpasses understanding. Get ready for the peace of God. You've gone through some trials. You've gone through some stuff. God has tried. God has been there every time, and the devil has been trying to steal what God has so beautifully placed before you. And I am believing for each one of you that God is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And as you have an encounter right here, right now, life is never going to be the same again. You've just encountered a living God. Just receive of him in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for you right now. And then those of you that raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to talk to someone in our high shirt, and they'll come find you, and they're going to pray specifically with you. But I'm just going to pray a prayer over you today. Lord, oh Lord, I just thank you for each and every person that is here today, oh God. Lord, I pray for those that lifted their hand today, that they may resolve to encounter and to receive of you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are for them. I thank you that you cover them. I thank you that you minister to them. And Lord, even as they say in their own hearts, I receive of you, that they would know today that they are saved, that their eternity is reconciled right here in this very moment. And God, I pray for all of us that are here today. I thank you for a covering of blessing, a covering of favor. I thank you for a resurgence of hope in every single person that is here, that as we go into 2017, oh God, Lord, we go into it with expectation of what you are going to do in this season, oh God, and we've made decisions and resolves in our life to live for you, oh God. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you bless them and that you cover them. In your name I pray, amen.